to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy. Let's go and see the stars,
Milky Way. Hey guys, welcome back. Talking PPG Radio, Will Jones here. Well, let's see, got a few things for you today. First off, the official TalkingPPGRadio.com webpage is up and running, and also the YouTube spot is up and running, so which is really cool. Cool thing about the webpage, now I can actually put direct links and pictures and photos and videos and things like that on it, so go check it out. And the YouTube spot, I already got one YouTube video on there where I went flat here past the 18th of this month, so which is really cool. It was a nice morning to fly. I got about a 45-minute flight in, so rusty. That's all I'm going to say, rusty. So, but it's like riding a bike. You remember it. Let's see. The other announcement is I've been trying to get in touch with Alex Varve. I don't know how many of you guys actually know Alex Varve. He's actually the Black Devil, Black Magic importer motor. I've been trying to line up an interview with him to talk to him about the Black Devil motor and if there's anything new coming down the line. I finally talked to him a little bit, and he's very interested. He's a really busy guy right now. But the cool thing, he suggested, hey, how about a call-in show, live show, so people can ask me questions about, the motor. So, working on that. So, get your Skype ready, or I'll have another way that you'll be able to call in. So, hopefully that'll come up here pretty soon. So, anyway, let's move on here. I got two things for you. John Black. I wanted to call John. Midwest flyer type, person that I am, going to the fly-ins here. It's all green grass, it's like going to a camp out. Let's see, my Easy Up tent, refreshments, cooler, whatever I need to fly, to camp out is basically that'll work for us. Well, wasn't sure what I needed to bring for the beach, flying on the beach, so I wanted to call and ask him a few questions about, hey, so what do I need? So we talked about that. Next interview is with Andy McGavin, TXFlySports.com. Mac Pair, we talked about a little bit of everything. So, sit back, relax. Thank you for coming. I'd like to thank them both for coming on. John Black again. Probably be the last time I talk to him, until I talk to him in person down there at the Beach Blast. And Andy McGavin, I'd like to thank him at this time for coming on. So, thank y'all very much. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
Well, all right. Well, John, welcome back again. Had a few questions I want to ask you about being a new guy coming to the beach. Us guys in the Midwest here, we got fields when we go to fly-ins. We take our Easy Up, our cooler, whatever we think we would need. I'm not quite sure what I need to bring as far as, right there on the beach. How you doing anyway?
I am doing wonderful. I'm tired. Been a lot of work. Yeah. Hopefully it's well worth it, and I'm sure it is from the excitement that I'm hearing and people that call me every day, and the amount of people we have signing up and our founding sponsors, which are being great, and it's just a great time right now. It's a great time to be a PPG pilot.
Excitement in the air. All right.
Definitely.
Yeah. So everything looks like it's shaping up good. I've been going back to the website, and it's like, well, let's see what else new he's put on here. You got a lot of flashy things on this website going on now. I see, like, your founding sponsors and stuff.
Yeah, stuff. I'm well pleased. We have actually have 10 founding sponsors right now, which is incredible.
Excellent.
And welcome anybody else to come on board as a founding sponsor. Get recognition of the event, get your polo shirts.
Yeah.
Really, you know, it really just helps further our sport. That's what this is about.
It's all about.
Anyway. It's about furthering our sport, placing our sport in the correct light in the public. And some exciting things since the last time I talked to you.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, go
and,
for
and,
it.
I got a call from Channel 7, one of our local stations there in Panama City Beach, and the sports director Scott Rossman called me, and they're planning on, when I get there that Monday, starting a production on Beach Blast 2009 Flying in Paradise.
Oh wow.
They're going to be promoting the event, and they're also going to, throughout the week, following up to the event, and then during the event, they're going to be coming out and doing live remotes from the event, and also sending up some cameras with pilots.
Oh, really?
Giving their audience, you know, a live view of what's going on. So the exposure level is going to be extremely high.
Oh my gosh!
On this event,
yeah.
So some people have said, you know, you sure you want that? And well, I think if we're going to promote our sport and promote it in a good light and show people what we do and educate them on what we do, I think that'll help us all.
Yes.
The worst thing we can do is remain in the shadows, and then somebody hears about PPG or sees one of these things, all of a sudden, people not knowing about somebody, ignorance always kind of breeds fear.
Mm-hmm.
And if we educate people on what we do and the beauty of this, and they see those cameras and us take them up and see the shots from above the beach and how nice it is and relaxing, and it forms the proper picture. It forms that portrait that I want to form in their minds when they hear about Power Paragliding.
Power Paragliding, yeah. There is a beauty about it. It draws you in to see. So I don't know if it's just you see that wing, somebody hanging below it. It's you. That's one thing I found when I've been flying in my LZ. Is somebody always comes up and has to ask me about what is that? That is so cool, you know. So yeah, that is really cool. So hey, I tell you what, I want to know. Like I said, I'm a new guy coming to the beach to fly. I'm a Midwest guy. Green grass beach. Actually was on the beach for training, but you know, that was basically pack stuff up and go. And or is there anything that I should, like, bring my easy up, bring something? I saw one video where a guy had a wagon with some big old wheels, or he was wheeling his motor out in the sand. I mean, what does a guy need to bring, or that you would suggest that he could bring that would help him out on the beach with the sand and stuff?
Fortunately for us, Will, the resort's providing some carts, so on the concrete and stuff around the pool and stuff, we can move our motors from the holding area, which they've also provided for us, close to the beach, and move our equipment down to the beach. So instead of carrying it around all over the place, you just stick it on the cart. Stick your wing on the cart, and you push it right up to the gate, and walk right out with your equipment.
Oh.
And you're on the beach, and that's going to be really nice. We also, I guess, probably one of the first things I would say to bring that you would want to have is a very high quality lip balm with a sunscreen in it.
Mm.
And fortunately for all of our Beach Blast 2009 pilots, with the generous support of X-Bomb, they're going to be providing that for us. So,
that's another founding sponsor.
That's another one of our sponsors.
Yes.
And they're taking care of that, and they've sent me a lot of product here to hand out to the pilots, and that'll be in with your pilot pack. Something else you'll want is I suggest Bullfrog, and it's a waterproof sunblock that a lot of lifeguards wear,
mm-hmm.
and people that play and work around the water.
Okay.
For people that don't know, I was a professional fishing guide at one time, and I spent 8 to 10 hours a day on the water. And if you've ever been on the water and got burns, you know how how unforgiving the sun is on the water with it reflecting off.
Yeah.
And I used Bullfrog exclusively.
Okay.
Anything that's a good sunblock, that will work well. I found that Bullfrog actually works the best.
All right.
Of course, you want a towel, you know, lay around the pool, or, of course, there's chairs and things around the pool. But stay hydrated, plenty to drink. If you do drink alcohol, there's plenty of bars around the pool there if you do drink alcohol. Yeah.
So it's...
You know, don't fly.
You know,
let that stuff get out of your system before you fly. Don't go out there and be stupid.
So basically, the LZ is basically
plenty of time
like,
to relax, plenty of time to fly.
So basically, the LZ is like right there. I mean, you can come in, land, put your motor
right there,
and hey, I want a soda.
You roll the motor in your wing right there to the gate. You walk out the gate, and there's the LZ.
Oh, okay.
You walk to the right, you're on the takeoff area.
Oh.
You walk to the left, you're at the landing area.
Wow.
So we have a very large beach. As a matter of fact, I have two pilots in the air at this moment. Just spoke to them a few minutes ago, called me from the air, and they're actually doing some scouting and some approaches and landings and takeoffs from the very area where we're going to be at, just to give me some data and in different conditions. So I have pilots there that are already working on this and already working on logistics and trying to map out the area for us so that when everybody gets there, we have a good idea. And we can give everybody a real good idea of what to expect.
What to expect, okay.
And especially for pilots that haven't flown the beach. And, you know, if you've never flown the beach, you are in for the most incredible treat of your life.
Yeah.
If you've never flown Panama City Beach, you've just gone to heaven.
Yeah.
It is a PPG paradise, literally.
Yeah, that's the pictures.
That being said, though, we're going to have everybody pay attention, because you can get locked up just looking at the water and looking at everything, and, of course, people waving. So it's going to be real important, and that's one thing we're pushing is the safety end of this event.
Mm.
And we're going to be having pilot meetings. Pilot meetings are mandatory. That doesn't mean mandatory if you think you should come. We're going to be having name tags with your tickets and everything that gets you on and off the beach.
Yeah.
You have to have these. You can put them in your pocket. They're on a lanyard. You have to keep those with you when you are flying or attempting to fly, because you will not be allowed on the beach without one.
Wow, okay.
This is going to keep, and those will be only returned to people when they've gone through the briefing.
Okay.
This will ensure everyone, without exception, has their pilot briefing every day.
When's the very first pilot meeting? Do you have that scheduled yet?
Very first pilot meeting will be Thursday morning.
Thursday morning, okay.
At 6 p.m.
Okay.
These are also going to be videoed and available in the registration area, which will be at the pavilion there, right next to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And people will be able to walk in. They'll have that video running on a loop tape.
Okay.
And you go in, you watch the video of what's going on in the briefing, so that people get up late. You don't have to worry about running to the pilots meeting and not making it.
Okay.
So we're going to try to make it easy and accessible, but at the same time be responsible.
Okay.
And be safe. So then you'll go in and you'll get your pilot briefing. As soon as you get your pilot briefing, you'll sign off on the list that you've had your pilot briefing, and the people there will give you your identification, and that gets you on the beach and gets you off the beach. And it'll also have some information on it for if you happen to get stranded somewhere or go down and have a motor out or whatever, we'll have contact numbers for you.
Excellent. Okay. Well, let's see. Lip balm, good sunscreen, and prepare to have a good time. Oh, okay. All right.
That's it.
That's great.
Kind of a tough job.
Oh, gosh. I'm telling you, man. You were saying that, I guess, you're up to, what, 60, 70 guys are already signed?
We are over 70 right now.
Really?
Registered.
Wow. That's excellent.
I know there are more that I know personally that are coming, and quite a few more that personally I know are coming that haven't registered yet.
Yeah.
Plus the people that I'm sure that I know. I come to think of it, and I don't think I've ever pre-registered for an event. So.
You know, it's funny.
There's no telling how many people come.
Yeah, that same thing here. I'm thinking, well, how many? I've just like showed up at several. So, one other thing before I let you go, like I said, I just was wondering as far as, like I said, a new guy coming to the beach, and it sounds like you guys are making it way easier than I figured it'd be, because I'm thinking, all right, what I need to bring. So. What about the maneuvers clinic? How is that shaping up?
It's going great.
Yeah.
We have quite a few people signed up for that. Still have some slots available. Chris is, I just last weekend went to Utah and trained with Chris. I actually got my, I've never ridge soared or thermaled, and I did both in the same day with Chris. Chris really just treated me and my brother-in-law, which is also a PPG pilot, treated us like royalty, like he does everybody.
Wow.
He's just one of the best people in the world, and I have all of the respect for Chris Santa Croce. He's just a wonderful guy. He ridge-soared me and took me up towing and got to thermal for the first time in my life, and it was just an incredible, incredible experience.
Was it really? Wow.
And people that have never met Chris personally or been around Chris, ask anybody in the sport. This man is just one of the true treasures of our sport. He is so knowledgeable and just a fantastic pilot. And you will enjoy every minute of this maneuvers clinic. Don't let it scare you, because most people have a fear of maneuvers clinic because they've heard all the horror stories.
Yeah.
It's just not like that. It's very controlled, and you really find out what your wing's capable of.
Yeah.
And Chris is right in your ear. He's very calm, very relaxed, and he walks you through everything. And if there's something that happens that's unusual, Chris sees it, and he will tell you the exact input to make, and it fixes things. Had that happen one time. I had one of my trim risers that slipped out, and immediately Chris gave me the correction for the wing.
Wow.
And corrected it, and then he said, John, one of your risers is out. He knew exactly what caused it.
Oh,
and that's
really?
Just the level of
wow.
of ability that Chris brings to the table, and I really encourage people. That's one of the biggest things, and Chris was the first thing when I decided to have this fly-in. I went straight to Chris, and I said, Chris, this is so important to me. I want this. And Chris says, John, I think it's a great idea. I will be there.
Okay.
And I really encourage people to take this clinic. It will be the best thing you ever do in your flying career.
Yeah.
Towards moving you towards being a safer and a more informed pilot.
Informed pilot, right. Okay. All right, guys. There you go. Well, John, thanks, man. Now, I'm going to keep it short. I know you answering some more emails and all that stuff. I just you know, here again, one more thing. Fuel. I fly avgas. I know some guys fly the regular pump stuff. What should we do about that?
Okay, avgas, not a problem, because that's all I fly with.
Okay,
is avgas.
All right.
So I love avgas, clean burning, cool burning, and I love avgas. Doesn't stink. You can put it in your house. Doesn't stink.
All right.
Avgas is available at the Panama City Airport. And daily we will have someone going over to the airport to pick up that gas for you.
Okay.
So all you have to do is pay them for the gas, and if you want to give them a little something for their time and for their gas going over there, you know, I'm sure they'd appreciate that too. As far as regular fuel, all you have to do is walk right across the street, and on property there is a gas station right across the street.
Okay.
You got gas right there.
All right.
So not a problem.
The avgas run. Do we need to bring something to hold her on, or?
You will need your own can. If you don't happen to have that, I'm sure there'll be a few. I burn avgas myself, and I'll have a big 6-gallon tank.
Great.
And,
all right.
But we can. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of cans around.
You know how
people are in our sport. They're always willing to help.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So those of you that are having to fly your gear in or whatever, that aren't driving, I'm sure there'll be people that would be willing to help you
help
out.
Help you out. All right, great. John, thanks, man. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Will.
John Black, Beach Blast 09. 2 weeks, guys. 2 weeks. Cannot wait. Wasn't sure if I needed to take anything extra, so I thought I'd just give him a call and see if there was anything that would actually help us out as far as make our life easier flying on the beach. So, you like me, it's, you go to our Midwest fly-ins, it's basically going to a camp out, so didn't know if there was anything different. So, hey, up next, I talked to Andy McGavin, txflysports.com. Go check out his website. I'd like to thank him at this time for coming on. We're going to get right into it. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. On the line with me today, Andy McGavin. Many of you may have heard that name before. Mac Para, TX Fly Sports. Andy, you there? How you doing today?
I am here, and also Into the Wind. They have happened to catch our locally made movie from a couple of years ago.
Yes, Into the Wind. Yes, that was.
I'm doing real good.
Doing good, good man, good. Thank you for coming on and giving me a little of your time. And
yep, my pleasure.
Finally caught up with you. So, well, hey, I tell you what, if you would please, I know, like I said, a lot of people have heard your name before. Could you give us some information about yourself as far as how long you've been flying and, just let the new guys that are looking for information know about you.
Sure. I saw an ad in a magazine about 13 years ago.
Yes.
It was called the Rob Report, and I was looking for a new line, a new vocation. I had been working as a professional actor for many, many, many years, and I also was doing a little bit of moonlighting work as a jewelry stone or a lapidary artist at that point.
Okay.
But I was looking for something magical to do, and I came across this ad for paramotoring in the Rob Report. It was Paramotor Inc. out of New York, which is now defunct, has been for a couple of years. They were looking for dealers and people to represent their product and stuff. And so I was fairly broke at the time, and I went away for the video and watched the video and just went nuts after seeing this video. And a year after that, I was able to hook up with somebody that had some money.
Yes.
And was able to invest in the business, and so started working it 12 years ago. But as somebody that's been flying a while realizes, it takes a while to get up to speed before you can start teaching.
Yes.
And call yourself a competent pilot. And back in those days, I was flying. I'm 155 to 160 pounds, depends on what time of year,
push away from the table.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, I'm not a big guy.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of my flight experience, I was flying a machine with gas. When it's fully gassed up, was about 100 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we call them paramonsters, and with a Zenoa motor.
Wow.
And that's what I had to fly, and so I flew it. But, I was 12 years younger than I am now.
Yeah.
I think I could even begin to do it nowadays. But I wanted to fly so badly that I learned with the big beast of a motor.
Yeah.
And I went out to Albuquerque 12 years ago to get my initial flight training, and I was trained by some people that are now I'm good friends with, the Danielles.
Okay.
And they've trained quite a few people over the years, but I was like one of their first students, if not the first student they ever had. And they were pretty low-hour pilots themselves, but nobody knew at that point how much experience you needed to be an instructor.
Yeah.
So it was the blind leading the blind, and fortunately we all went on to become pretty good pilots and I think fairly good instructors. So I've been living in Houston all that time, and I started teaching officially about 10 years ago.
Oh, so you
I kind of lost count, but I figured somewhere around 300 students.
Okay.
From all over the world, and up until about 3 or 4 years ago, I used to travel quite a bit to train, too. I traveled out to Hawaii once to train a guy, and down to Belize, over to the Middle East.
Oh, wow.
So it's been quite an adventure.
Wow, that is excellent. That is, and you've been in it for a while then. I mean, did you get into, were you, what is that, starting power paragliding? I know, remember seeing Michelle in that, I think that's one of the, you know, a new guy getting into it. He's always looking for DVDs and stuff like that. I think it was one of the movies where I think she actually was training or showing somebody, you know, talking about power paragliding. I don't even remember how old that movie was, but.
That was Michelle you're talking about?
Yes,
Michelle
uh-huh.
Daniel?
Uh-huh. I remember seeing her
yeah,
in one of them.
About 6 or 7 years old,
yeah.
That movie.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were in that one or not. I don't remember seeing you, but hey, you never know.
No, I don't think so, but I was teaching at that time.
Yeah.
I was in, like I said, Into the Wind.
Into the Wind. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
one of the DVDs I have. yeah.
Which was produced by one of our local pilots that I trained 5 years ago or so, named Chris Page.
Chris Page,
he's
yes.
an amateur filmmaker
yeah.
and quite a character. Got to do some interesting things on that, especially flying over the Royal Gorge in Colorado.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That looked that beautiful. Sitting on my couch and watching, it was like, wow, that was beautiful.
That was a very cool flight.
Yeah.
Because at the time, that day, we were launching early in the morning, and we were launching out of a bandit site, which means we didn't have permission. And we pulled into a KOA campground and tried to unload our gear and jump over this fence into this this meadow to
yeah.
take off from.
Yes.
And the manager of the KOA campground was not too happy with us and was trying to get us to leave. And I was rushing to get up in the air and realized that I couldn't mount the camera that I had on a helmet.
Yeah.
So I decided, well, I'm just going to go ahead and hold it in my left hand and fly that way. So that's what happened. So all of it was, steering and flying while at the same time trying to point the camera in the direction that I thought was most interesting. But it was later than we'd hoped for, actually, when we got into the air, and things get a little bit rowdy in the mountains.
Yeah,
as thermals start heating up and stuff, and so it was getting rowdy. And my other flying partner in that decided that he didn't want any part of it, so he landed. So it was just me up
yeah.
there flying, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, it was beautiful. Hey, if you guys that are listening are not familiar with it, it's called Into the Wind, and you can go to into-the-wind.com. It was like
right.
it was like 2006, and I think it was actually copyrighted 2005. But yes, I think I've watched this thing several times. It's beautiful. I'll tell you real quick question on it. Those two, the lady and the guy, still flying?
Well, that's a good question. The guy that I was training,
yeah.
his name was Ken.
Ken, right.
He's
okay.
He's a CEO.
Uh-huh.
And, part of the problem with Ken is he never could find the time to really, and plus he has a family, he
yeah.
has kids. And so he's bailed. And Camlin,
yeah.
She is still jonesing to continue her flying career, but she had a setback physically.
Oh, okay.
And her doctor told her, absolutely don't do that until I give you the go-ahead.
Oh, wow.
It's been kind of a long recovery.
Oh,
so
sorry
she's still,
yeah.
she still wants to fly, but she can't, according to doctor's orders right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, okay. All right, man. Thank you very much for that info. Wow. That's really cool. Yeah, I forgot I even had the DVD. It's sitting right here in front. I was like, oh. Under the stack of PPG videos and DVDs that are DVDs
well,
that I have. So,
I think this is a Hollywood exclusive right now, but I think Chris is working on End of the Wind 2.
Oh, excellent. Can't
yeah.
wait. Wow, okay.
But before we can do that, we need to get some flyable weather, and it has been windy as all get out here.
Yeah. I have to try to give him a call and see if I can't talk to him about it. Wow. Well, anyway, I'll tell you what. TX Fly Sports, your website. You also Mac Pair, actually the exclusive Mac Pair Technologies wing importer.
I'm the importer.
Yes, the importer. And you sell motors. What's new with TX Flashboards? I've been looking on the website.
Well, I'm also the U.S. importer for HE Paramotores out of Spain.
Okay.
And they are a motor manufacturer, and they're expanding even with the economy in the downturn. They're expanding right now, so they must be doing something right.
Yeah.
Just talked to Spain today, and Their business is growing. They just got a very expensive CNC machine into their shop.
Wow.
And hopefully they said they're going to try to bring the cost down by doing so. But they just came out with a great new motor, calling it the 220 Plus, or I call it the Hammer Plus. I like to put a name on things. So the Hammer Plus, which is excellent for trikes and for the big guys.
Mm-hmm.
I have flown it, and one of my biggest motor critics, I mean, guy that I've known and flown with for years, Robert Kittle from Colorado.
Okay.
He's a very advanced pilot, skydiver, and he's been flying the Spice for years.
Mm-hmm.
Call him the Spice Boy. He is always, he's always looking for the sexy, best, quietest motor out there. And he was skeptical. He was in town here about a month ago, and he was skeptical when I told him, you know, I had a great new motor. And he says, well, we'll see about that. But he fell in love with the Hammer Plus.
Yeah.
He liked the sound of it. He liked the quick power, nice power band on it. And it's, not a real heavy motor either.
Now, did they increase the CC, or is it one of those deals where they actually just kind of retuned it with like the muffler and the exhaust?
No, it's a different cylinder.
Is it really?
Altogether.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I know that their cylinder, they was actually using a different cylinder, if I remember correctly, and actually I think I remember you talking about it was actually they were getting the cylinder from PJX, or the guys that do the Black
JPX.
Devil. JPX, yes. A good thing. Yeah. Is this one?
The Hammer, the regular Hammer, which they call the 220, and it's not really a 220. That's another reason why I decided to rename it.
Okay.
The Hammer uses the same piston and cylinder that the Black Devil had been using in JPX Italia.
Okay.
So very similar, and it's Molossi actually. It's a Molossi piston and cylinder.
Piston and cylinder. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they actually sounds like they're planning to do all of that if they've got the new CNC machine, and if that's what you're saying.
Well, they're definitely gonna be doing their cylinder heads, and I would imagine probably their crankcases too, because they've been farming those out. Yeah, the guy that runs HE Paramotores is a character. He looks like a bull kind of him. He's just real short and stocky, and he's just like so full of energy. You just get run over if you get in his way. So he's a real force.
That's great.
And he just doesn't give up. He keeps, there's a problem, and this is one of the reasons why I've stuck with HE over the years. Is because whenever there's a problem, he goes in and troubleshoots it and takes care of it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the engine companies that I've dealt with over the years, there's a problem and it can last for a couple of years. They just don't seem to get on top of things.
How long have you been the importer for those guys?
I've been the importer for 3 years now.
3 years? Okay. Well,
yeah. And I've been taking it slow because I didn't want to get a bunch of motors out on the market and have all sorts of warranty problems and stuff like that. So I took it slow, and now I'm just, I'm really starting to feel like HE is coming to their own time, and they have something to offer to the PPG world. And they're doing really good business in Europe right now, and I think it's time for the United States to open up to their products.
Their product, yeah. Hey, guys, you go to txflysports.com, and you'll be able to see some of the motors there. Actually, I think you just got the hammer and the...
But it's funny you should say that, because I am just getting ready to do a whole rewrite on my website.
Oh, yeah, so, okay.
So I'm glad you said that, because it motivates me. You know, when you're running a business as a sole proprietor like me, sometimes you kind of put things on the shelf. But I got to do that.
Yeah.
So it's going to get new pictures and new information and all sorts of stuff here in the next week.
Now, are you, you're the motors, are you doing a frame? Like, I know you had the Phantom frame set. Are you still doing that? Okay.
Yeah. You know, basically, there are three motors that I push the hardest from HE, although they have more than that. The first motor that I ever got from them was the R80, which is an 80cc motor, and it is the most durable motor I have ever found.
Is that right?
And, yeah, I've got one in my shop right now that I just sold to a doctor friend here, one of my former students, and it... the original one that I got from HE 3.5 years ago, it's still being flown by somebody here, and you know, spoke beaucoup hours on it, and it just never stops running.
It's just a
fabulous little motor.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, but I don't push that very often, because most of the guys that come to me in Texas are Texas size.
Yeah, as you're saying, us 220 guys here.
The 80cc just doesn't work very well here for the most part. So I sell mostly the R120.
Mm-hmm.
That's my motor. That's the one I fly, and the motor I know the best, and it is a kick-ass motor. It's got a clutch, and it's one of the bigger motors being offered in the marketplace with a clutch.
Oh, wow.
A 220
with a clutch? Really?
120. I said 120, I believe.
Oh, 120. I'm sorry. Okay.
I made a mistake. Yeah.
Okay.
The 120.
Okay.
And it's a very durable little motor and has good power. You know, I would say it's about 15 to 20% more power than the smaller motors.
So you got rid of the gearbox? Didn't it have a gearbox on it at one time?
It does have a gearbox, and at one point they were talking about a belt drive.
Oh, okay.
With a clutch still, and they tried it for a little bit and didn't get it right, so we quickly took it off the market, and it's still in design. But the gearbox works great now. It's a very durable gearbox. The clutch on it, I haven't had anybody replace a clutch in years.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. The clutches are, like, bulletproof.
Because there's usually a maintenance schedule on a lot of these gearboxes, where you fly so many hours and they say replace this and this and this. That's amazing. That's great.
Well, I mean, the gearbox, I'm talking about the clutch.
Okay.
Clutches.
Oh, clutches. Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But the gearbox, yeah, there's maintenance on it.
Okay.
That's moving parts.
Yeah.
And you gotta open it up every 50 hours or
okay.
so.
Okay. All right. All right.
And,
okay. All right.
You know, put some new oil in it or grease. And,
but the clutch itself,
technique.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's my favorite motor out of HE's lineup, because that's the one I fly the most, and it really works good. I've seen a friend of mine, 225 to 230, flying the HE 120 with an Eden 3 28-meter wing.
Whoa.
So it was a wing that was, you know, a little on the small side for him.
Yeah.
And a motor that was probably underpowered for him. But he flew it, you know, he said it flew him fine. It wasn't exactly overwhelmingly powerful to him, but it was a good motor. So then we got the 220,
mm-hmm.
or the hammer. And it's very easy to start. I would say a little easier than some of the other similar size motors out there. I mean, talking about pull start,
right?
And it's it looks the same kind of configuration as like a Seamanini.
Okay.
Most of the time, you know, on the units that I put it on, the head is inverted.
Inverted cylinder. Right. Okay.
And they just upgraded. I'm excited about this. They just upgraded the big pulley by putting some pretty good sized bearings in it. So I don't think that the bearings in the big pulley can go wrong. I mean, I just don't see how, unless you had some really severe prop strikes,
where they haven't,
you could compromise them.
Oh, they've just basically just upgrading it.
I mean, they're substantial. You can see them. If you take the prop off, you can see these big bearings in there. But there's just no way you're gonna go through those bearings, and like I said, unless you had a bad prop strike.
Yeah.
So that's exciting, because you know, that's one less thing you have to worry about under warranty and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So again, they're continuously upgrading and improving and redesigning. So that's become a very good motor, and that'll fly people, you know, well up to 250, 260 pounds.
Yeah. It weighs about, what, 56, 60 pounds, somewhere in there? The weight of the motor?
The weight of the unit,
yes. I'm sorry.
Okay, and you were asking me what I'm mounting these things on.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay.
Side track.
I'm sorry. Yeah, go.
I put the 120 on a frame that I get from Francesco DeSantis, the iFlyer frame.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that frame. It's so light. And, you know, over the years, I have come to the conclusion, because many of the pilots that get into this sport are more mature, and I have come to the conclusion that if you're trying to get more mature gentlemen and ladies up into the air, you need to put them on the lightest weight equipment possible that is appropriate for their size.
Okay.
So the iFlyer frame is extremely lightweight. And it's nice, because if you do have a hard butt landing or something and break something,
yes,
it's fairly inexpensive to replace and repair.
Oh.
So I like that aspect of it,
yes,
too. But the 120 works very well on the iFlyer frame.
Okay.
And then I put the 220, or the hammer, on a frame I get from a friend of mine in Phoenix, the Phantom frame.
Okay.
It's spelled Phantom, and it's phoenixppg.com.
Phoenixppg.
Okay. He builds the frames, or has them built there, and I've been to the factory where they're making them, and it's state-of-the-art CNC machine. I was really impressed. It's a well-funded business, and they turn out some really nice work. And so the bigger motors, the Hammer Plus and the Hammer, are going on the Phantom frame.
Okay.
Oh. For those that want to fly trikes or quads, there's a trike also offered by the by Phoenix PPG.
By Phoenix. I know a lot of people are getting into trikes. That's cool.
Yeah, trikes are really growing.
Yeah, they are.
Not so much here in Houston, I might add.
Really? Wow.
It's a little windy here. You know,
right.
The Wingnuts, which is our local flying club, the
yes.
Texas Wingnuts, which is founded in Houston by me and Beery.
Yeah.
We fly quite often, you know, on a nice day, we'll go down to the beach or to the Texas City Levee, which is on Galveston Bay, and we can fly all day long down at those sites because there's no thermal activity when the wind is onshore,
yeah,
or blowing onshore. And quite often, the winds are, you know, 8 to 10 miles an hour, so people with trikes are kind of challenged.
Yeah,
hard to do a reverse launch on a trike, although I've seen it done.
Yeah, I've tried it. It wasn't too successful, but anyway, but it wasn't a laminar win either. So, but anyway, yeah, that is too cool. Wow. Yeah, I knew you had the Phantom. I didn't realize that you actually was putting the 120 on the iFlyer flame. I have to check that out. So I know you said you're going to upgrade your website.
Yeah, it's actually on my website. There's picture on the homepage.
Homepage?
On the website.
Oh, okay.
Of the 120 on a iFlyer frame.
Okay.
Now, as for wings,
yeah.
Mac Para just came out with the Eden 4. And the Eden 4 is a little different than the Eden 3.
Yeah.
I haven't got a lot of hours on the Eden 4 yet because, you know, it's the time of year where you just don't fly a lot around here. The winds are blowing. But the Eden 4 has a better glide than the Eden 3.
Really? Okay.
And, you know, they're saying it has more direct handling. I really haven't flown it enough to honestly comment on the handling yet, but you know, MacPura just keeps improving their product year after year. They're amazing. They've got magic dust that they use.
There you go.
Find their way. I'm quoting some other people that have told me this because there's a following.
I know there is.
It's... Some of the importers and manufacturers always get upset. They're like, why do people, you know, always choose MacPura? MacPura is doing something right. They've also been winning world competitions, and the MacPura team was number one in the world, the year before last.
China? The world?
No, this is the paragliding free flight.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the World Paragliding Cup was won by Team MacPura.
Oh wow!
And you know, they've got pilots that are routinely placing in these big competitions and stuff. They're routinely placing in the top 10 and usually the top 3, you know, time after time.
Yeah.
So. They've got good pilots, but they've also got a really good product.
I'm sure they do all the legwork and the R&D and everything it needs to have a good product out there.
Right. Well, the owner of the factory, Peter Retschik, also he was the co-instigator of the company years ago, and then he bought out his partner. And he's been running it ever since I've known him.
How long have you been around? I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt. How long has it been?
About 15 years.
Really?
I believe.
I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah, but up until about, let's see, 7-8 years ago, you know, they were really struggling to get into the top tier. And they're definitely there now. Their quality, their workmanship, and their designs are definitely, I think, place them in the top 5 of wing manufacturers and designers in the world. So that's quite an accomplishment. They've come a long ways in a short time.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you got a lot of people here in the States are flying MacPura. It amazes me.
Oh, I have people. I have people that have had Eden 1s, Eden 2s, Eden 3s, and, you know, are calling up to find out what the Eden 4 is like.
Wow.
And I have other people that have, they'll have like a Spice, a Velvet, and an Eden, and a Pasha.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, they're people that are dyed-in-the-wool MacPura fans.
Yeah.
So, God bless them.
Thank you, no doubt.
Yeah. I'm publicly saying thank you.
Excellent.
So the other thing that's exciting is the Velvet.
That's what I want to ask you about that. Yeah.
The Velvet has been around now for about a year.
Yeah.
Maybe a little over a year. And it's been a while for me getting used to reflex and a different feel of a wing. And you know, I love the Eden 4, the Eden 3, so I was very happy with it, and I flew Spice for a while. I generally don't keep wings very long. You know, I sell them and get something else stuff, and I love, right now, I have a Velvet 21 and an Envy 23.
Okay.
Envy is their DHV2 wing that is, I mean, it's I've had a love affair with the Envy for a while. It's just a really sweet wing. It turns so easily.
Is it a semi-reflex or reflex? It's a DHV.
It's a DHV2 glider. It's a regular classic design paraglider.
Okay.
But it definitely has some of the MacPura magic dust in it.
Okay.
I recently got an email from a guy that was down in Mexico at Vida Bravo, and he was hanging out with a couple of pilots from Slovakia, and they both had the Envy, and he flew it, and when he got back here, he sent me an email saying, what's the price on these things? And I was so impressed with them. The Envy is a DHV-2 wing, but it's almost a 1-2.
I mean,
there's just like if you look at the charts, there's like one or two categories where it just didn't make it to 1-2, and they had to classify it as a 2. But it's super stable, super easy to launch, and it turns. I mean, you think turn, and it turns. It's so easy to fly. It's just incredible, and very stable too. But the Velvet was taken directly from they call it the profile of the Envy.
Yeah.
And designed with a little bit of reflex in it.
Okay.
And I can tell the difference. I mean, I've had the Velvet, and a couple of other people have reported to me that they've had the Velvet in some pretty challenging conditions, including the gust front in Monument Valley, where
last year, right,
where there was a fatality.
Yes.
One of the guys from Colorado was flying the Velvet 23 when that gust front came in, and he said, you know, it was a Bronco ride, but when he landed, he said he didn't take any collapses, and he was glad to be down, but he never felt like the wing was going to fold up on him or anything. So that was pretty high praise.
Yeah.
And Robert Kittila was over in Britain last summer flying the Velvet while he was photographing the crop circles over there, and the conditions, he said, were quite rowdy. He's used to flying the Spice.
Yeah.
And he said on the Velvet, he said he really was able to go hands-off, even bump stuff, and use his camera. And I talked to him last week, and he's been flying it in Colorado, the Velvet. And again, this guy was, I call him the Spice Boy. He was really a rabid Spice owner.
Yeah.
And he's saying if he had to choose only one wing to fly all the time, it would be the Velvet. And the sales of the Velvet have just continuously increased from month to month. So, you know, it was like one or two a month for a while, and now it's going to like five or six a month that I'm selling.
Okay. And see, yeah, what size is 23, 26, and 29? Is that right?
Yeah, and there's also a 21. That's what I fly.
Oh, you fly 21. And okay.
The 21 is it's an interesting wing. It's like, and here's the other interesting thing about the Velvet. It seems like from size to size, it's almost a different wing. The first one I got was the 26.
Yeah.
That was a demo that the factory sent me.
Okay.
And that thing was just, I mean, it was so easy to launch. I flew it in some pretty rough stuff, and I flew it in some thermal conditions too, and it was just real steady and easy to fly. And then I got the 23, and it seemed, oh wow, this is actually more sporty. It was more my size, and it was a little different on the launch, maybe just a little less easy than the 26.
Yeah.
And then I got the 21, and the 21, holy mackerel, the 21's like a little rocket ship.
Oh wow!
It does everything really fast
compared to the Spice.
Well, yeah. It's different than the Spice, though. I mean, the Spice turns flatter. The Velvet, if you take it in, you know, do a big pendulum turn where you turn pendulum one way and then go to the other way and then just crank into that turn. If you do that with the Velvet, you'll be kind of looking down at the ground.
Is that right?
It's definitely not for anybody but more experienced pilots. That's the 21 I'm talking about.
Okay.
The 23 is different, but the 21 is like a speed wing. It's just a little rocket ship. Jeff Goyne flew the 21 when he was here last fall, and that's how he described it. He said, "Man, that's like a speed wing."
Wow!
So it's a fun little glider. I love to fly it, but it doesn't have the performance of like the 23 or the 26, it does lose a lot of altitude when you get aggressively.
Your wing of choice right now?
My wing of choice right now, the one that I fly the most is the Envy 23.
Okay.
But yeah, but I'm thinking about getting the Velvet 23 and having that in my quiver of wings too.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's just when the conditions are rowdy or when I want to go out and kind of mix it up with midday air and stuff, I think I want to be on the Velvet 23 because it's so much, it's so stable and it doesn't really sacrifice any of the turning capabilities and the really nice handling.
I was talking to Britt Shaw several episodes ago, like one of the first ones, and I was telling him I've been at it, which I had talked to you a little bit earlier, you know, when we were trying to get in touch with each other. I have been flying a, what am I flying now? I can't think here. I have a Atlas and also a the other wing.
Silex.
Gosh, couldn't get that out. Yes, a Silex. And so I was looking for that next wing, and he was telling me about the Velvet or the Envy, and I was like, really? I said, well, I'm going to have to see if I can get some more information on these two wings. And because I'm actually flying a medium right now, and that's the thing that I'm trying to figure out about what size wing, you know, I should go with. Like, if I see you, like you said, you have a 21, 23, 26, and 29. So I'm thinking, well, the Velvet 29, would I be, you know, where would that
be? Well,
put
how much do you weigh?
I'm right how at 220. 220, 225 is where I fluctuate at right now. Like you said, depending on what time of year. And I'm trying to drop some weight too, but I tell everybody about 220, 225. So that's no more, no less is usually where I stay at. So.
And how much is your motor unit?
I have a First Breeze, so the Simonini. So what is it, 70 loaded?
70 pounds of gas?
Yeah, loaded, yeah.
So you're around 290, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Weight-wise, 290 to 300 pounds. Well, one of our guys here that has a whole quiver of Mac Pearl wings, he has Spice. He has two sizes of Spice, and he has a Velvet. He used to have an Eden 3.
Yeah.
He weighs 245 pounds.
Yeah.
And sometimes, when the winds are high, he will fly the Eden 20 or the Spice 22.
Oh my God! He's 245.
Yeah. Yeah, and he has a Fresh Breeze Monster.
Oh, good Lord.
So, you know, I mean, people are flying smaller and smaller wings
right.
These days.
Yeah.
so it depends on your skill level. It depends on your motor unit, whether it's got enough power to drive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which it sounds like you do. So you could possibly even go with a 26.
26, yeah.
But, you know, the 29 would be a safe bet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Mike, the guy that I was just talking about, he has a Velvet 29.
29, okay.
Yeah, he flies a 29. So, but you could load it up. I mean, especially if you have, you know, it depends on if you're trying to put together a quiver of wings that, you know, you can pull out of the box depending on the conditions
and everything. Yeah. You live in Louisville here. I mean, most of the time, of course, it's like, you know, not like you guys when you got that nice breeze coming off, you can fly all day. Of course, what, early morning, late evening, and, you know, some.
So most of the time when you fly, are the winds light?
Yes. Matter of fact, if we get any wind, normally it's gusty or it's, you know, it changes direction. So most of the time I'm flying, you know, zero wind or very light, you know, to. It's one of those deals where, like, I'm going down to the beach blast. I'm thinking, okay, I would like to be able to practice my reverse because most of the time that's all we do here is doing forwards, you know, so.
Yeah. And it's just the opposite here in Houston.
Yeah.
A lot of the pilots here don't do enough forwards.
Yeah.
And so when the winds get super light, they get kind of timid and fearful that they're going to blow it.
Yeah, and it's funny. I did a reverse 2 weeks ago, and it was one of those kind of okay. The wind stable, and then you know, and got the wing up, was backing up, and it was like, man, I think I remember this. And about that time, the wing fell back down. It's like, okay, So it's like, it's nervous because I've been in it over, it was a year in October. And I got it 61, 62 flights in. And it's, like I said, I'm so used to doing forwards. You know, you get to that reverse and it's like, okay. All right, think about your training. Well, yeah, bring it up. You know, keep walking back.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. So,
well, then, I might add, though, that it also depends on a wing that you have.
Oh, okay.
And one of the things that has put Mac Pair on the map is the ease of inflation. I mean,
that's what I hear, yes.
Yeah. It's almost cheating with, like, an Eden 4 or an Eden 3.
Yeah.
You bring them up, and they just want to fly.
Well, so that's Britton even told me it was either the Velvet or the Envy. He said that you wouldn't believe how easy that wing comes up.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. I remember going out to fly with somebody here locally last year who had one of my competitor's wings.
Yeah,
and I had the Spice.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the winds were somewhere between, oh, maybe 2 and 3 miles an hour at the most. I mean, there was hardly a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a reverse with the Spice.
Oh, get out of here, really?
Yeah. But you know, I mean, I've had over 4,000 launches and landings.
Okay.
So I've had a little bit of practice.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I did a kind of a running reverse. And took off, and he was on the ground just swearing at his wing, man. He tried to reverse, and then he tried forwards, and he was just having a heck of a time.
Yeah.
And this is the guy that I told him when he was choosing a wing, I said, you know, I'll make you a good deal on a Mac Pair wing, and he decided to go with another wing, so.
No. you only can try, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well,
so anyway, I don't know much more to tell you except looking forward to this beach blast.
You going? Yeah.
I'm going to be there.
Great.
And,
you going to already?
I will have some.
Go ahead.
I will have some demo wings there.
Great.
You can try the Envy. I'll have a large Envy there for you to fly.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
And try to have some Velvets there as well, and definitely some Eden 4s. And I'll have some motors, too. And there's a good chance that one of HE Paramotori's ace pilots will be attending the fly-in and doing some flying exhibition.
Oh, that's
stunt flying and stuff.
I tell you what, it sounds like this beach blast is really... Yeah, this could be big. This could be really big.
Well, I talked to John today, the guy that's putting it together, John Black, and he is he's quite a promoter, man. I'm real impressed with his effort. You know, not only is he really organizing it and promoting it, but he's found just an incredible venue to stage this thing.
Isn't it great?
I think it could turn out to be something that'll happen like two or maybe three times a year.
Oh, really?
And,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a much better choice as far as I'm concerned for a national fly-in. If you know, you
that's what I'm thinking.
Plates.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that should be a really great thing. And another thing just came to mind. A friend of mine in the business who just moved from Florida to San Antonio, Texas, Ashton Bruner, the guy that's promoting the Green Eagle four-stroke paramotor, four-stroke trike quad paramotor, he found a really nice place to hold his school, to conduct his school. And it's also called Kitty Hawk in San Antonio.
Okay.
And it's really just on the outskirts of the city. I've been there. It's a perfect place for a fly-in. So I think he's going to try to put together a fly-in maybe towards the end of the summer or maybe in October or something. I'm not sure, but.
Yeah, because I know you guys have y'all's at the end of the month, end of the year too. Your TX wing.
We had ours around Halloween this last year. Okay. Wasn't a very memorable one for me, however, because I hate to admit it, but I ended up hitting a propeller with a hand.
Oh, did you? Now, somebody had asked me that a while back, and I said, well, I never did hear anything about it, so how you doing? I guess you're back to flying and everything. Everything all good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe if you weren't looking for it, you wouldn't know.
Okay.
That it happened. It was my left hand, and I had just gotten over 2 weeks of the flu, and I went down to this, it was Friday afternoon, and I went down to the beach to meet with the guys. There were a couple of people come in from out of town at that point. Most of them showed up on Saturday. But I decided I hadn't flown for 3 weeks, and like I said, I was weakened by the flu.
Yeah, week, yeah.
And somebody said, I won't say who, but somebody said, hey, have a beer. And, you know, I just thought, oh, God, that would be so nice. So I didn't even drink a whole beer, but it was just enough to make me a little tipsy. So anyway, I took off. I went flying, and because I'd been drinking beer, I had to make an emergency pit stop on the beach, and I relieved myself. And when I went to pull the wing up, it was 12-mile-an-hour wind.
Oh, wow.
Which is nothing for me. I mean, I literally have launched 1,000 times in conditions like that.
Yeah.
So I was flying, by the way, a motor that was bigger than what I usually fly. I was flying a hammer, and I usually fly the 120, but at that particular
extra
time,
weight,
I had the hammer and more power and no clutch.
Oh,
And I pulled the wing up, and when I pulled it up, I just wasn't 100%, and I hit the power accidentally, and it drove me into the sand, and the unit rolled over on top of me. And my hand must have kind of stuck up a little bit, and the net did slow it down and save me from really, really horrible injury. But it did hit my hand, and anyway, that was a lesson learned.
So say, everybody, if you're listening to this, there's a lesson in this story, guys. So.
Well, I tell you, I haven't had a beer since that day.
Wow.
I don't drink beer anymore because for some reason doesn't. But I mean, the lesson is, don't get lackadaisical, and you know, think that you can make exceptions to flying with a clear mind, because you let your guard down just for a second and you can hurt yourself in this sport.
Yeah.
That's not to say that, you know, it's a dangerous sport, but you can make it dangerous by making really lame decisions like that one.
It could happen to anybody. There you go. How many years you've been flying?
I've been flying 12 years.
12 years.
Thousands of flights.
Yeah.
And thank God it was a flesh wound. No broken bones.
Great.
Didn't have to have surgery.
Good,
just had a nasty open wound. You know, I had it fixed at the hospital, but I was back in the air about 2.5 weeks later.
Oh,
flying,
great,
so
man. I'm
glad. I got lucky.
Yeah.
But it was a wake-up call.
Yeah. Because, you know, you get a lot of people get that invincible feel, man. If that, like I said, guys, if you just heard the story, I mean, nobody's immune to hurt. It's all about safety in the sport. So,
It's all about flying with a clear head.
Yeah.
I also call it flying with the eye of the tiger. So,
wow.
You know, you get lackadaisical, you get sloppy, you can pay the price. And I've seen it happen, and I've had it happen.
Yeah. There you go.
So,
oh, man.
It's a fun sport.
Oh, yeah, you got to love it. Yeah, but it could get you. It wow. Well, Andy, thanks a lot.
All right, Will.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Oh, this is the same here, man. I will see you down at the beach blast. One other thing, are you going to make it to Britton Shaw's flying? I didn't know if you were still going to make it up there or not to the foot drag. Okay.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because I have been to, this will be the, I'm trying to remember whether it's the third or the fourth. Flying at Britton.
Arkansas. Yeah.
It's at least the third, and it might be the fourth. And I would say that the year before last, not last year, but the year before last, was the best flying I ever went to.
Really?
It was just a phenomenal fly-in. It wasn't hugely attended, but it was just a beautiful place to fly. The conditions were great, and the people that were there were phenomenal. And of course, Britain is a perfect host, and I always make it a point to go to his fly-ins.
Yeah.
It's just a great place to go.
Yeah, excellent. Well, all right,
thanks,
man. Gosh, that's a great time. I greatly appreciate it. I mean, for your time, and man, I can't, like I said, I can't wait to the beach blast. See you there. Hopefully, I see you at Britton Shaw's, and I appreciate the time you gave us today.
Okay, man. We'll fly safe.
All right.
Well, that's all I have for you today, guys. Andy McGavin, I'd like to thank him for coming on and giving us information about TX Fly Sport. I'll have a direct link to Into the Wind, the DVD that we kind of mentioned at the first part of the podcast interview. And very nice guy to talk to. You guys have any questions, I'm sure he'll be more than happy to answer them for you. If you're going to be at the Beach Blast, hey, it's a great, great place, it sounds like, to be, to take and talk to him. So, anyway, like I said, I'd like to thank him for coming on. John Black, once again, thank you again for the information about, hey, what do I need to bring down? I guess I'll get to see him soon down there. 2 weeks. Can't wait. Don't forget about the other things that are coming up, guys. The Endless Foot Drags in Fort Smith, Arkansas, May 22nd through the 25th. So, and don't forget the Flight Junkie one, July 23rd through the 26th. So, anyway, that's all I got for now. I have several other things that are lined up. And the Alex Varve call-in show. Hopefully I'll get some more information up about that real soon. I'll have some information on talkingppgradio.com for you about that. So that sounds like that's going to be really cool. So, well, that's all I have for you today. So thank y'all for coming to Talking PPG Radio Podcast. Don't forget, like I said, to go to talkingppgradio.com and check out the direct links to the fly-ins. And like I said, it's only going to get better, hopefully. I'll add and take away some stuff on there. So it's all good. All good. So, hey, what I got for you on the exit song is Will Smith, Summertime. In the 90s, he came out with the song, and pretty cool. I kind of was looking for another summertime song, just getting ready for the summer fly-ins and just, man, warm weather. So anyway, sit back, relax. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Thank you very much. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme. And put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Sort of a buzz, but back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park, a place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise, honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around and see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad I compose this rhyme to hit you and to get you equipped for the summertime.
all set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair, cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more, cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends, y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch, while the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop or fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.